All right, welcome everybody. This is episode number 5. I want to thank all of my listeners. We're getting some amazing feedback. People are emailing in like crazy. This is really taken off, and I'm excited about that. So thank you to all my listeners, and thank you for everybody that's given me feedback and input. For those that don't know, if you want to shoot me an email, so first of all, you can like our Facebook page. You know, it's lifesplaining at Facebook, common spelling. And then right now the email address is lifesplaining, L-I-F-E, splaining, S-P-L-A-I-N-I-N-G, I think, at gmail.com. Some of the feedback that I've gotten was I'm gonna start adding pictures of my co-hosts to the, either the website, or maybe I can get it to where the podcast shows up. You can see who the co-hosts are, because you know, my wife was listening to the I think episode 3, and she was asking about some of the, you know, like, oh, who was the girl from the party? And I'm like, oh, I had the pictures right there ready to go, and I was able to show it to her. And she says, you know, it'd be a good idea to have the pictures of the co-hosts because people like the extras and whatnot. So you can expect to see that. I'll start throwing those up. I'll either throw them up on the website, which it's actually a WordPress website. It's WordPress. I think it's lifesplaining.wordpress.com or some bullshit like that. But it's one of those, you know, cheap websites. I think it's lifesplaining.wordpress.com. That's the website. So I'll start adding some of the pictures to the feeds and whatnot. So you guys can see, you know, because again, even the stories that we're talking about, like, you know, in episode 3, you know, we're talking about the girl that was all over Omar. Like, well, I have pictures of all of that. Like, it's incredible. It's all documented. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing what cell phones can do. And speaking of which, you know, this episode here, my co-host isn't here with me. He's in San Antonio. I'm going to get him on the phone in a little bit. But you know, he and I, we're going to talk about basically the evolution of getting older and the different experiences. And we're going to talk about, you know, when the tools that we have at our disposal now, it's unbelievable. Like, not only do I have an amazing camera in my pocket, but I have, you know, 15 years of documented history, or at least 10 years of documented history of the dumbest shit I've done and the dumbest pictures, and it's all there. So it's funny. Oh, fuck. And you know what? I had actually forgot. There's a question I was going to ask Paul, and I forgot. I'm going to have to get him. So anyways, but this episode, we're going to have a very special guest, and I'm going to get him on the phone, and it's a great discussion. You know, I think a lot of folks in their late 30s can relate, and I think the younger folks can kind of see where things are going. So anyways, guys, again, thank you for all of the support. Thank you for listening. If you have any suggestions, or if you have any ideas, or if you want to be a co-host, you know how to get a hold of me. Please contact me. Let me know. I'd love to have you guys on. We can either do a phone interview, or you can come over to my house in my studio, and we can do it here live. So anyways, enough of me rambling about this bullshit. Let's get Paul on the phone. All right, here we go. All right. Hey, everybody. So on the phone with me today, I have an old, amazingly close friend of mine, Paul Miller. Paul, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah. So, hey, Paul, is this the first podcast you've ever been on?
This is the first podcast I've ever been on. I've listened to plenty, but this is the first time I've ever been on.
Have you listened to the previous podcast that I've done?
I've listened to the first three. I haven't had a chance to listen to the last one.
So what did you think of the one with Omar, episode 3? Pretty boring, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we can try and spice it up a little bit.
Well, go ahead.
It's only up from there. So yeah, we got to work our way up.
I couldn't help but notice that he was overly cautious because he's not quite married yet. And so he's still in his dating phase, but yeah. I got a big kick out of when he was bragging about how he gets breakfast in bed. I still talk about that. I don't know any guy that's ever gotten breakfast in bed. And number two, I don't know anybody that really wants to eat breakfast in bed. That sounds terrible. Egg yolks everywhere.
doesn't appeal to me. When I think of breakfast, I think of things like syrup, and then that's like sticky, and it just doesn't bode well for the bed.
No, I agree. So listen, so we talked earlier today, and we're trying to come up with some good topics of what we could discuss and what life lessons we can share. And you brought up a good one. I was excited about that. You were both. I'm almost 40. Are you 40 yet?
I'll be 40 in October, yeah, so I'm knocking on the door.
Yeah, so we're climbing up there in age, and yeah. So you know, you were talking to me about just how life is a lot different from your 20s to your 30s to your 40s, and yeah. You know, I thought, you know, that's a good point, but then I also thought, like, you know, you're a teacher and you've been a teacher, you said, for 16 years.
Yeah.
So you're. I mean, I am far removed from what's cool and hip and what all the kids are doing. Tell me a little bit about how that is. Where, you know, right now you're teaching high school, but you started in middle school, right?
Yeah, I taught and coached for 3 years in middle school, and then the last 13 years I've been in high school. I was at one high school for 11 years, and then this is my second year at the current place I'm at.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh no, but. It's an experience, and I mean, kind of watching the kids, and you know, at the end of the day, the kids are the same. Kids are kids, and it's just what it is. But you know, when you talk about watching what's cool or seeing what everybody does, I mean, you know, the fads kind of come and go, and it's funny because, you know, not that I'm like in and have my finger on the pulse of like the youth of today, but you know, like my own son is growing up, you know, I'll kind of watch what the kids are doing and things that they're into, and then I come home and trying to tell my son, well, no, this is what the kids are doing. And no, that's what the kids are doing. And of course, you know, I'm just dad, so I don't know what I'm talking about. And, you know, nothing I say is cool. So it is. And I've become that parent. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, when I was in high school, you know, I used to be just petrified to go out in public with my parents. I'd be petrified to go to the mall with my mom because mom was going to buy me something. My mom, you know, they were probably going to buy me things and this and that, but it was always like, okay, so like, if you just give me the money, I'll go in there and buy it, and then I'll just meet you wherever.
Did she actually go for that?
Oh yeah, yeah, she would do whatever. But you know, it's like I feel like I've kind of gotten to that point with my kids. So, you know, I make a point to try to like embarrass my son every time I pick him up from school in one way, shape, or form. And so, I'll get like old like gangster rap music and I'll play it on my speakers and then have the windows down and pull up and pick him up, or yeah. Like come up and start like honking and wave at him. I'm over here and honking. You know, things like that to kind of just really.
That's an unwritten rule of parenting. My parents did the same thing. And actually my mom, my God, she embarrassed me whether she wanted to or not. And she didn't give a shit. And the worst thing I could say is mom, you're embarrassing me. If I said that, it made it worse. Then she's like, oh, you think that's embarrassing?
And no, watch this part.
Yeah. And, you know, I've always been heavy growing up. And so, you know, my mom would take me clothes shopping and she would never give me money to go here's $20. Go buy yourself some Levi's. No, fuck that. That never happened. No, it was, we're going to go to the store. We're going to try on some Dockers and I want you to go to the dressing room and I want you to come back out and then I'm going to look at them. And then with her very loud New Jersey accent, she'd go, they're too small in the crotch. They're too, look at this, they're bunching up. And I'm like, you hear that, ladies?
At the same time, she's got two fingers on the waistband pulling it, like tugging your waistband while she's doing that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the, and you know, granted, I was like 16 too. So it wasn't like I was a child. Because like you need clothes growing up, right? I mean, like, you know, you're in high school. You can't keep wearing the same pants that are high water. I mean, you need clothes.
Yeah.
So this was well into high school. I'm sitting in there. And to be honest, I didn't give that much of a shit just because I was so used to it. But my God.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's funny you said that about picking up your kid. You know, my mom, we had this big, giant, like, 1990s or late 80s conversion van, you know, with the TV, the 8-inch tube TV with the VCR. Yeah. And you know,
all class.
And the big captain chairs in the back. And we drove that everywhere. And that's what I would get dropped off in school in. And it had, that's when they first started putting in the backup beacon. And I was so embarrassed this one day. I was running late and I always wanted to get to school early. Like I want to get there at like fucking 7 o'clock, like an hour before everybody else. And I'm like, I'll practice. You know, I was a band nerd, so I'll practice my euphonium and this way nobody sees me get dropped off. And this one day I was running late and I was getting my, and also my parents are kind of cheap, right? Like they wouldn't buy, they wouldn't buy tissue papers and toilet paper. Like, to them, that's that's the same thing. A roll of toilet paper is the same as a box of Kleenex, so why buy both? So my mom would wipe her nose with toilet paper. And so she was dropping me off in the van. The bell rang. Everybody's walking into class. I was like, oh, shit, this is so embarrassing. So I opened the door to get my euphonium out of the back, and the toilet paper comes rolling out. And it's that slow tumble and starts to unravel. And I was like, oh, my God. And as a high school kid, you're like, oh, could this get any more embarrassing?
Yeah, and it just gets longer the further it rolls longer, away.
And I'm trying to ignore it. I'm like, oh, just ignore it. Just walk into class. And then my mom sees it and honks, Lenny, and backs up. Beep, 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 beep. Get the toilet paper. And
awesome.
Oh, my God. To this day, I still, like, I need to see a shrink and talk about this shit. Obviously, this has some long-term effects. So anyway,
that's awesome.
That's great. And we're 40 years old and we're at the age right now. Emma's only 3. So you got like 10 years on me, but I'm thankfully Amy and I talk about this. Like, we're still the cool parents. Like I pick her up from daycare and she's excited to see me. I'm sure it's not going to be long where she's like, Dad, I'm playing with my friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See, you know, of course, you know, I've been married for the last 8 years and, you know, we have a 13 and a 12 year old. I'm 14 and 12 year old. And we're going out. One is about to be, you know, of course, a high schooler. And it's just kind of a crazy even think that I have a kid that's about to be in high school. But, you know, as far as like my experience with you, you know, I met you 20 years ago. You know, I was an 18 year old. I was a freshman in college. We were in the same fraternity together. But like you and I saw a lot of those changes together. You know, we went through the crazy times in college when you were invincible and you could just do whatever you want to. You know, getting out and then kind of, you know, getting jobs and kind of, you know, being funded, you know, and then about every weekend we'd go out in college, about every weekend we'd go out and when we were single and kind of going and playing the field. And of course we spent lots of times philosophizing about a lot of things, but you know, it's just crazy that, you know, even I'd say in the last, you know, 10 years, the things that used to like get me excited and get me pumped up is now it's just all exhausting. It's just all tiring. It's like, he's like, you know, I know like 10 years ago, I was like, yeah, man, I'm, you know, after work, let's go hit a bar. Let's go drink a few beers. Let's stay out till the place, let's close the place down and let's hit the after party and let's do this and this and this.
Oh yeah.
Nowadays the sun's going down. And I look at my wife and I'm like, why aren't we in bed?
Yeah,
why are we not showered up and ready to lay down and go to sleep?
No, it's so true, man. Like, you're right. In the 20s, when we were in our 20s, like, I remember, you know, living in San Antonio, it was like, no, every weeknight, no, it's happy hour. I would run out of clothes. That's how often we would go out. I would run out of clothes because it was after work. Yeah, happy hour, and then maybe go grab a bite and then go drink a little bit more somewhere, like you said, and then, you know, watch a game somewhere. And then all of a sudden, it's like 2 in the morning. And it was like that every night. And it's amazing. Your body's resilient, right? Like, yeah, I go to bed at 2 in the morning and then, you know, drunk and wake up at 6 and go to work the next day like it was no big deal. Like, that was what we were conditioned to do. Now?
Oh, yeah.
Now? If I last time I hung out with one of our friends, Bob, in San Antonio, you know, I did that shit. I was hungover for 2 days. And, and 3-year-olds don't understand what that is. They don't know. They're like, no, Daddy, we're you know, it's time to wake up and make me breakfast. And
definitely. I'm, see, the last time I think I hit it that hard was my wife's birthday is in May, so it wasn't this past birthday, but the birthday before we had gone out. And of course, she, you know, she wanted to go to this wine bar, and right next to the wine bar is a big, you know, kind of other bar that's there. So, you know, I'm like, I'm gonna go. And. And of course, you know, the week leading up to my wife's birthday on Saturday, like I had to like practice, like I had to lay in bed and like stay awake till like 11 o'clock. And then I'd get to 11:30.
Condition yourself.
I was conditioning myself to staying up later. And so when it came to that day, you know, of course we go to this wine bar and, you know, I'm a beer drinker. I've always been a beer drinker and I can drink beer and do my thing. I don't really drink wine, but I start drinking the wine like I'm drinking beer. And so by about 11 o'clock, I start kind of feeling it. And about 11:30, I start feeling it. And I'm like, oh, man, this is not going to be good.
Am I maintaining?
I'm here, but then we go to this neighboring bar, and there were some people there that my wife works with. And so, of course, they're playing music, and I'm feeling good. And, of course, before you know it, I'm dancing all over the place, and I'm just losing my mind, and I'm just jumping and screaming and just going nuts. to the point where, we get home and I decide that, since I'm a man, I have to make a fire. So I go outside and I basically make a bonfire in our backyard, with a little fire pit. And, needless to say, by the end of the night, I ended up laying face down in the shower with just the water pouring on top of me, just passed out and just really in bad shape. And of course, that Saturday night going into Sunday morning, and I think I didn't recover from that till about Wednesday or Thursday of that week. And so that was the last time I've...
That was a three-day hangover?
Yeah, it was brutal. And I think that was about the last time I had gone that far.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't even imagine. And lighting a bonfire, yeah. I mean, that is straight up, that's straight out of a page from Lubbock, Texas, right there.
Oh, you ain't lying. It all came out. Man.
That is straight up Lubbock, Texas. I mean, you know, Texas Tech getting done with the bar. Hey, we're going to go to Lambert's house and have a fire, like bonfire, and a tractor race.
Because why not?
Yeah. We've got wood. It must burn. Exactly.
We've got wood and we're awake. So, yeah.
And as long as we still had beer, like the party was over the party was on until the beer ran out. So,
well, and that was the thing there. Like I remember in Lubbock, that was always the mad dash about, I think if I can remember correctly, I think it was because we went to Lubbock and Texas Tech, and those who don't know, when we were there, it was a dry county or a dry city. Yeah. You had to go outside the city limits to get any kind of alcohol. But I think if I remember correctly, they cut off liquor at midnight, and then you could get beer until 2 a.m. So it was every party right about 1:00, all of a sudden you'd get the pass the hat with the person that's trying to make the mad dash out the strip to get beer and be back by 2:00 so you could continue the party on. But yeah, I know it was just always kind of one thing led to the next, and I know there's a lot of times, you wake up the next morning and you just kind of have little flashes of the things that happened the night before. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember wrestling in the front yard with one of my fraternity brothers. Oh, yeah, I remember.
There. all of a sudden, the back flashes come back like the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah.
You know what's funny, man? Like, with what you're just talking about now, like Lubbock used to be a dry county and getting beer was not like just walk into the convenience store. I mean, it was a plan, right? You had to have a plan. You had to have somebody to drive. And you had enough people in case you got pulled over that you weren't bootlegging. So it was an ordeal. And it was a science. And one of the things that, a lot of times, I always hear people bitch about millennials, like even millennials bitch about younger millennials. And I've said this before, like, look, everybody thinks the previous generation or the following generation is a bunch of pussies. That's just the way it is. There's never been, again, a Vietnam vet that thinks, somebody, Generation X or something is going to be as tough as, it's just the way it is. But part of that though is like, I think back at, you said in your school, right? The kids are the same, right? It's based, but the tools are different. Like when we were in college, cell phones were just breaking out and they were just getting affordable.
Beepers, man.
It was beepers, but the cell phones were just getting affordable. And what that meant you had to keep your plans. Like if you made a plan, like you couldn't deviate, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm going to meet you at the movie theaters at 6:00. Cool, man. I'm going to go run an errand. I'll see you at 6:00. Like, fuck it. Yeah. Like, that was it. Like, that was the last line of communication you had with that person. There was no, like, hey, call him on his cell phone while he's driving. Like, and change plans and become flexible. That's what I think is super different. And just like the drinking, right? Like, on a whim, you're like, hey, let's go run out of the convenience store, grab a 6-pack and go hit the, go do a bonfire. No, we got to drive 30 minutes, motherfucker. And then if we're going to drive 30 minutes, we're not going to buy a 6-pack. We're going to buy a 30-pack because it doesn't
make
sense.
We're getting everything you need.
Yeah, we're getting everything. It's in cigar. It's just different because you had to be more organized, if you ask me, because you couldn't just do things on a whim.
Yeah, well, the thing is, too, everybody thinks they're the special generation and this and that, but if you really think about it, you and I, in our generation and people that are around our age, we really evolved with the best of both worlds. We evolved with zero technology when we were kids, no cell phones, no internet, nothing like that, and then we kind of grew up with it. I mean, we were teenagers and into college with the internet and with cell phones and iPhones and then all this craziness that's kind of come out now. I mean, you look at of course I'm 40 years old, but I'm still, it's funny, like on the outside, you can still look, oh, you're into just like childish things. Like I have an Xbox. I play Xbox constantly. I play games on my phone. Yeah. But it's like, dude, I've been doing that since I was in first grade. You know, right. that's just kind of I grew up doing that stuff. That's still stuff that interests me.
Right.
But yet, you know, like I said, you know, you can do the whole back in my day, we didn't have all that stuff. But then we also grew up with it. So we really saw both ends of it.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. And you know what? The previous generation, they had the same shit too. Like they had their Ataris, right? The people that are nearing their 50s, they had the Atari and the Commodores when those things came out. So like those things were always there. I mean, granted, they've gotten better. You know, the... oh, fuck, I'm having a brain fart. God damn it, I was just thinking about something. Son of a bitch. It was about the generation. God damn it. I had a good fucking thought. Shit happens all... This is... So I've been doing this diet, and I stopped drinking, and I stopped eating grains and eating dairy and legumes. I'm doing this whole 30 diet. And it's real weird. Your energy levels are weird. It's not like, you know, you're getting carbs from potatoes, and so the brain works a little different. And you're not getting beer, so you remember shit, but not the shit you're supposed to, apparently.
Uh-huh. I hear you.
I finally remembered. So, so your son is 14, right? And Emma's 3. Yeah. What's the most mind-boggling is I don't think... your son probably knows... like what it means to wait like till next week for the next episode of whatever that show is, right?
Oh yeah.
See, Emma's not going to grow up knowing that. Emma thinks Emma's the child of on demand. She wants to watch.
Yeah.
She wants to watch Sesame Street, and she wants to watch this episode, and she'll remember it, and maybe from last season, and she doesn't want to wait till it's Saturday morning cartoons. No, motherfucker, she wants it right now, and. And it's amazing.
The DVD and the on demand.
The on demand. Oh, DVD. Shit, she's not going to know what the fuck that is. The DVD. I mean, the on demand. Everything is like, no, I want this episode. I want it right now. I want this YouTube video.
Yeah.
And that's something that we never grew up with.
Yeah. What's going to blow you out of the water is our kids don't know what Saturday morning cartoons were. Or the cartoons after school when you came home.
Yeah, your kids don't know that? You know, like the 3:30, He-Man and Thundercats?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, absolutely not. There's none of that stuff because now it's, you know, you got an entire cartoon network or, you know, you set your DVR, you record the entire series, and then they can go back and watch it or go to Netflix and watch any episode they want. Yeah. And again, that makes things so different. I mean, you know, with us, and I think it's kind of funny, I know when I was younger, you know, of course, you could only get cartoons at certain times. So then in the evening when there was nothing else on, like we used to watch Nick at Night, which was like all like old shows from like the 50s and 60s and 70s.
That's right.
Exposed. Yeah, we got exposed to all those old shows because there was nothing else on to watch and there was no cartoons. And like I said, our kids don't have that. Our kids don't know who My Three Sons are, the Patty Duke Show or, you know, all these shows I remember watching on Nick at Night.
I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that we
man.
In reruns.
That is so funny. That is so true and so funny. But yeah, that feature, that like I that on demand, you know, entertainment on demand. No, I mean, and I think that leads to such a hell. Like instant gratification is something that's important to all of us. I mean, that's like Amazon's business model is instant gratification.
Oh,
you want something?
Yeah.
You 100%. Push a button on your phone, and in a day it shows up in your doorstep. But it's only gotten worse because, to be honest, like it's like that movie Oh Brother Where Art Thou when George Clooney goes into that store looking for some Dapper Dan and he's like it's a two, special order 2 weeks away. He's like, what a geographical oddity, you're 2 weeks away from everywhere, aren't you? But like when we were kids, like if you had to order something, you would have to go to the store, place an order for something, and then in like 2 weeks they'd call you and tell you to come pick it up. Now like shit, if I go to Best Buy and like they're out of something, they're like, well, we can order it for you. I'm like, motherfucker, I can do that. Like, I don't need, I don't need you to order to push the Amazon button for me. I can do that.
Well, and you remember the days of the, you know, you order something and then it might show up in 6 to 8 weeks, where you're literally like a month and a half to 2 months it may show up. Now it's like by the end of the week, if it's not here, I'm pissed.
Yeah, can you imagine? Can you imagine telling your kids like, yeah, no, okay, we'll order it. Well, it'll come in a month. Like. Are you shitting me? Are you fucking kidding me?
Like, I don't even want it. I wouldn't even want it then.
Yeah. The other thing is, like, I don't know about you. Did you ever build models, or did you just like buy a radio control?
Part?
Like,
I, I did a little bit. I mean, a little bit, but I was, I mean, I'm more, I mean, I'd rather buy the G.I. Joe Jeep that I could play with.
Right away. Open the box and like start playing. Yeah. Yeah. I did both. I had my brother's Star Wars hand-me-downs. I never got the cool G.I. Joe. And then I never got, I didn't think we've talked about this. I never got the cool Transformer toys because they were expensive. I got the GoBots because they were cheaper.
Yeah, that was.
But like
you were denied.
Yeah, I was absolutely denied. And but no, I like you know I would build models and like yeah like you'd open or my dad actually I wouldn't want them but my dad would give them to me and I'm glad he did. But like it'd be like you get this box and you open it and you look at the box and the picture of a box is like a B-17 bomber or like you know a P-51 Mustang you know firing you know bullets in the air and I'm like wow that's a super cool toy dad does it fly and he's like yes it flies and then you open it up and it's like a bunch of wood you're like where's the fucking plane it's like sheets of trees.
Then you as a kid attempt to paint it like it is on the box and it's like doesn't even closely resemble
not even close. But I mean at the same time it was fun because you know I learned how to build shit and I learned patience and stuff like that. I want to try and get that with Emma. I want to try and teach her like okay so sometimes you know but fucking 3 years old no way. And right now like I said she's about to wake up from her nap and she's like I want Elmo and I want you know Rapunzel gets a haircut. She knows the episode and everything. And if it's not like loaded and if it's like she even knows like what the word buffering means or it's loading. Like how the fuck does a 3 year old know what that means?
Anyways. Exactly. And that's the part of it too. I mean, it's funny like you know, again, I'm a big movie guy, big video games and all that stuff. But like things that I saw, like when we were younger, that was just a big joke and a big laugh. It's like now you kind of pick up on those things. Like the biggest one I always remember is like Will Smith in Old School. Like when he gets married and they're like, well, what do you have planned for this weekend?
You mean Will Ferrell.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. We'd go to Home Depot, look at some flower arrangements. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have time to go Bed Bath Beyond. Like now, like I find myself going to Home Depot and just like looking at shit saying, yeah, I need that. I don't know. I don't have to cut down a tree, but I need an axe. I need that axe.
Yeah. I want new lighting in my front yard.
Yeah. I don't know. This might be a nice plant to, you know, a big brush, a shrub to plant in my front yard. I don't know. That tree looks cool. It's like, and you know, again, 20 years ago, you know, when I'm at Home Depot on a Sunday morning at about nine o'clock in the morning, I'm like, yeah, 20 years ago I was sleeping till 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
never even thought about Home Depot. But now I'm like, oh, you know, it's a nice weekend, we can get projects done, you know, you do things, you can be productive, you know. The weekend rolls around and 6 o'clock in the morning I'm wide awake and moving and going and doing stuff and I'm like, holy crap, I'm old.
Yeah, I mean the productivity is completely different and the focus is definitely different than when it was when we were 20 years old or 30 years old. I mean, you know, And also the things we did for fun, you know, pre-kids, you know, yeah, we would go floating down the river, go tubing and stuff like that. Now, like, oh, man, we're going to get sunburned and, you know, it's a big ordeal. Might get skin cancer, all the things you got to worry about. And, you know.
Well, those young kids might look at us weird and we might have to be, oh, gosh, we don't want to be like, you know, we don't want to have a conversation with anybody. Jesus, what if they play loud music?
Well, you know, when you were talking about how, you know, the weekends and everything else, well, you know, I also started noticing it because as our friends started getting married and we'd go to like, you know, Austin for bachelor parties or we'd have little trips after college, I noticed like what changed the most is what medication people would bring with them on their trips. Like, you know, in college, like you might have packed a clean pair of underwear and like the suit you were going to wear at the wedding. And that's about it.
Yeah.
And then probably like a giant jar of like ibuprofen or Aleve or something for the hangover. And then as we started getting older, I remember seeing, you know, certain friends, like all of a sudden they have like, all right, well, that's my Pepcid. That's my antacid. And then that's my blood pressure medicine. And as we're getting older, the bag of medications are getting bigger and bigger.
That's what I'm saying. I can't leave the house without Rolaids or Tums.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. It's like no pepperoni pizza for me because that jacks me up. I can't even look at pepperoni pizza or I'll be done for the rest of the night.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've got Tums. I've got Pepcid AC strategically scattered around the house, in my office, in my car, in the garage. That shit is everywhere. And you're right. It's you know, when you were younger, yeah, pepperoni pizza, sure, no problem. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, like the priorities, you know, from being like young and single and then older and married, you know, it's, I always kind of think about this, and it's kind of a dumb example, and you might go along with this with me on this or not, but you know, when you're single and you're going out, you know, of course you and I, we went out plenty of times, you know, you're looking, you're going out, and you know, possibly I might have the company of a young lady. I might,
yeah,
you know, something may happen. One thing may lead to another. It's all great. But when you go out, it's like a competition. Like you're looking at those other guys and these guys, and you're doing this, and everybody's trying to have, you know, this kind of shirt on or that kind of fragrance or doing all this stupid stuff. Nowadays, it's like, you know, my wife's like, hey, you want to go out? You want to do stuff? Well, you know, when I'm single, you know, the goal at the end of the night was to try to hook up with someone.
Right.
Now that I'm married, I'm like, I've already won.
You're yeah.
I got you.
Gotcha.
So if we know purpose in going out, we can just watch a movie because right there, I won.
Yeah, like look, so, we got wine. We can, and then I get a little ice chest full of beer and put it right next to the couch. I mean, it sounds great. I love it.
Hey, same thing. That's awesome. You know, here in San Antonio, we have Fiesta starting up, and Fiesta's like a 2 week long party they have downtown and all this stuff. Well, you know, there's one week where they have this thing called NIOSA. It's Night in Old San Antonio. And you know, when I was in high school, that was the best night of the year. You'd go out there on the Thursday night and the Friday night because, you know, you could kind of get away with drinking a little beer and doing things like that. So that was the best night of the year to go to NIOSA. I mean, it looked forward to it every year. It was just awesome.
Now you just think of the traffic.
But, oh, I'm thinking of the people inside. Well, see, I mean, and of course, when you go to NIOSA, it's wall-to-wall people. It's front to back. You're pushing yourself through crowds. You're trying to do, you know, the whole deal. And so my wife, Amber, you know, she didn't grow up around here. She, you know, but she hears about NIOSA. She's like, hey, let's go to NIOSA. Why don't we go check it out? And I'm like, look, walk around the living room. I'm going to throw a beer at you. And then I'm going to fill your tits. I'm going to grab your ass. That's the experience of NIOSA that you're going to
have. You're like, oh, so, Lenny, like, so Lenny's coming over?
Exactly. I was like, you know, we could do this right here. We could actually have the experience here and not have to deal with any of that crap.
Like, ask me for a glass of wine and then wait 15 minutes and then I'll give it to you and that's NIOSA. For the life of me, man. Those big giant festivals, it's that collective mentality like Lemmings. Like, you're like, all right, well, I guess we're going to do all this. And you're going to wait in this giant line for beer. And it was basically you wait in line for beer and you wait in line to go take a piss. You wait in line.
And you're paying like $8 for it, but you got tickets, so you don't really realize.
But you know, the funny thing is, though, San Antonio, Fiesta is the beginning of the season. Oh, no. It's Oyster Bake. Oyster Bake is the beginning of the party season.
Weekend,
yeah. That kicks everything off until Worst Fest in November. And it's like every fucking weekend, there's got to be something going on. And the really big things, like you said, are Fiesta. But yeah, Oyster Bake, you know, great live concerts, a lot of bands. Fucking great. Dude, I can watch that on YouTube. Like, I don't need that shit anymore. Like, I don't want to go park. Yeah, I know the parking is just a 5 mile walk from the parking lot. But you can take a shuttle and you can just walk to the shuttle station and that's only a 2 mile walk. And then you can come here and you got to wait in line to get in and then you wait in line to get a beer and you wait in line to get pissed and then back and forth and eat some oysters that are probably going to get you sick. And then you got to try and deal with botulism. Like that's basically it. And when you're 20, trying to hook up with chicks and seeing all the girls and your friends and having a good time. Now, oh, fuck that. No, absolutely not. Like, I'd be bringing Purell with me. Like, no, it'd be terrible.
Yeah. Well, again, you always dictate your plans by that. Like, my wife and I, like, of course, we like to go see movies and stuff like that. But we're like, we don't want to go Friday night because we don't want to do a lot of the high school kids.
You know.
And we don't want to go here because it's like, we'd rather just go, like, early and be home by the time the sun goes down.
So when people tell me, oh, we do date nights, we have a babysitter. So in all honesty, like Amy and I, our date nights, it's exactly what that is. It's like a Sunday matinee and we'll get the babysitter during Emma's nap time. Shit, actually, the third date I ever had with Amy was with you and Amber at the movie theaters. And it was like a Sunday at 1 o'clock. Or 2 o'clock.
Yeah, we went and saw Clash of the Titans, I think it was. Yeah.
I mean, that was what dating was like. And that was great. Yeah. And that's kind of like we are. I was going to say, we don't go, like, we have, like, the big, the big cool Palladium movie theaters. We have all those, like, high tech and like, the 3D, you know, D-box seats and all those kinds of shit. But what Amy and I do is we go to the Alamo Draft House because it's 21 and up. Or I think it's 21 and up at night. And then early it's 18 and up. So you don't have the kids. And I hate to sound like that kind of a dickhead or that old dickhead or old, you know, begrudgingly like fucking old man. But like No, I don't want to go. Like, the last time I went to one of those Palladium style movie theaters with all the high school kids, and no, it sucked ass. I absolutely hated it. It's just,
I like
Alamo Drafthouse. It's all old people and they're all drinking and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and everybody's just kind of like subdued. Nobody's yelling at the screen.
Right. Yeah,
I know what you mean. Yeah. Definitely.
So, man, that's great. It's funny that you're bringing back old memories and trying to live vicariously through that. But you're right, man. Nowadays, it's just a lot different, you know.
So, well, you know, and the thing with me is like, you know, I am in my life right now.
I wouldn't want to change anything either.
You know, I've got a stable. I've been able to work pretty much the same job for the last 16 years. You know, I've been married to my best friend, and you know, and I love coming home to my wife. You know, we still, you know, text each other constantly, or you know, I leave her little messages in the morning when I'm going to work, and she sends me messages, you know, just kind of little things, and you know, we keep that really excited. I mean, like this weekend, for example, we don't have kids this weekend, so we, you know, like right now I'm going home, and you know, she's got food ready, and we're gonna watch movies, we're gonna relax, and it's like, I can't think of one thing that I'd rather be doing than that right there.
Oh yeah.
You know, so
oh,
it's yeah. just,
could you imagine, having to go back out and hunt?
Like, oh God. I could not imagine having to get back out there and, you know, try to date or try to find people or try to, you know, do all that stuff. That just,
no,
I don't
absolutely
know.
I would never be able to do that. And you know, there's been a lot of occasions where Amy's been close to saying, like, you know, I think on the introduction of the podcast, what qualifies me is that I'm still married and I've never been punched in the face. Like, there's been numerous times since that where Amy's like, both of those things are about to happen. Like, so
then I'm just going to go ahead and take a step back right here. And then
But yeah, so like I couldn't possibly imagine trying to go back out in the dating world. And the thing is, like, I have friends that are in their late 30s, early 40s that are trying to date. And, you know, it's, I guess it's different though for them, because now it's like the guy I had on episode 4, you know, he just recently got married, and you know, he's like, the sex is, because again, in the 20s, like, that's all it was. Man, I want to get laid. I want to get in her pants.
Yeah.
And that was the ultimate goal. Like, man, I got some pussy. Like, that was it. Right?
Yeah.
Now it's like, no, I've already gotten laid, and that's not exactly it. And so I guess the nice thing about dating in your 30s or meeting your, I met my wife in my 30s. You met Amber in your 30s. Like, the nice thing about that is you've already experienced all the kid shit. You've already done all of that. And,
yeah,
and you really learned what's valuable, and it's like,
well, see, I don't want to get into all this because it's obviously a discussion for another time. But you know, I had been married in my 20s, I had gotten divorced, and then of course I met Amber, and of course it's just, you know, it's just great with her. But I know that when I was in my 20s and I was married, like, the bar, like, called me, like, I could feel it. I could, like, I would drive past like places that we used to go, and it's just like, calling my name, it was just like killing me that I couldn't go to those places and couldn't do that stuff. Now I mean it doesn't even appeal to me at all. I don't even hear it, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
it's
God,
like,
no,
something,
yeah,
that doesn't even like even, it's like not even a glint in my eye to go do all that stuff, because it's like I've gotten all that out of my system. Like, I don't have the draw to do all that stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that I used to have.
I totally hear you on that. I'm in 100% agreement on that. Sorry, I was getting some coffee. I'm 100% agreement with that.
Well, it's funny, like, even like, you know, and I don't know if your podcast goes in this direction or not, but like, even like sex stuff kind of changes quite a bit when you get to be our age, you know.
Are you
sure? Like, I told my wife, and
that's half of what this podcast is about.
Well, there we go. Well, that's like, I told Amber, and of course she's like, we always kind of joke about this. I go, look, at my age, when we start getting down and dirty, hey, look, you got a window of about 70 pumps. That's what I got in me.
Your unit of measure is pumps. That's good.
Well, here's the thing. You got about 70 pumps. So, you know, if you use your hand or you use your mouth, well, you've just wasted about 35 pumps. I'm just letting you know. Now, the problem is if you start drinking a little bit, you know, if I drink a beer, you might get another 10 pumps out of me or 20. But the problem is once you pass that threshold of about 100 pumps, you also have the risk of going the other direction where I just can't go any further, and that's it. So,
you know,
so you kind of have to, you kind of dance on a head of a pin on that.
Yeah,
one.
That's a fine line right there. Yeah, no, it's funny. What was interesting is in Omar's podcast on episode 3, I was asking him what his expectations were. And like, he just, you know, besides breakfast in bed, he goes, sex. And I was like, oh, so you think, oh, I said, yeah, and go, I bet you guys are banging all the time now. He's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm like 4 times a week. He's like, oh, at least. And you think that's going to continue? He's like, yeah, why not? Yeah, why not? Like, why?
You go with that, brother.
Yeah. No problem. And then I was telling some other friends yesterday that have like two kids, and there's like another couple that has 3 kids. They're like, how did they have time to make the third one? Like, it's fucking exhausting. And like you said, when 9:30 is bedtime, and like the idea, like I used to love watching like Jimmy Kimmel or you know, Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien. I used to love watching late night TV. Now I have to put that shit on DVR, and it's a day late and a dollar short. I can't watch late night TV anymore.
Oh yeah. I mean, definitely.
I used to remember growing up, I would watch, my mom would watch the news at 10 o'clock. And then at 10:30, we used to get Three's Company, and then Three's Company stopped airing, and then we'd get Married with Children. And then I'd watch Married with Children. And then at 11 o'clock, there was like WWE or WWF wrestling. And then 11:30 was Glow. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. The women.
Glamorous ladies of wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. No, it's fun. Again, I forget the name of the movie. It was one I saw not too long ago. It's got Zach Galifianakis in it, but I can't remember the name of the movie. But it's basically Zach Galifianakis and his wife, and then it's like the girl that played Wonder Woman and her husband. And, of course, the one couple's kind of like your average couple, and the other one's like this, you know, real well-put-together couple and all that. And they're asking Galifianakis, his wife, you know, how is it when y'all have sex? And she goes, yeah, we have this technique where we run into the closet and do it as fast as we can before the kids run in. That's about how we are. So.
Yeah. So like, yeah, Emma's not old enough. Emma's not old enough to like to be scarred. But like, I think we used to put a Sesame Street episode on and then try and
do it.
But then we were like, no, that's terrible, because if she ever finds out, then she's going to be associated. Yeah, she's going to be scarred for the rest of her life. Anytime she sees Elmo, she's going to be thinking of daddy banging her mommy. Oh, gee.
All right.
Yeah, how about that? How about that for a visual?
It is what it is.
Anyways. All right, man. Well, listen, it's been about 30 minutes. I think we can wrap it up, unless you got some other stuff you want to get off your chest.
Yeah, I got a roll, but man, yeah, it's been a good time. All right. I got you.
We'll do this again, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man. Right. Good talking to you.
Thank you, man. All right, everybody. Paul Miller, thank you.
All right, thanks, man. Later.